Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. The study question that I put in the bulletin for tonight was, why did God call Samuel three times before giving him a message? And why did God use a voice that sounded to Samuel like the voice of Eli? 1 Samuel chapter 3. Beginning with verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Okay, again, the question, why did God call Samuel three times before giving him the message? And why did God use a voice that sounded to Samuel like the voice of Eli? Anybody got an idea there?
Told him about Eli, and then Eli So many people think that God doesn't hear when they're mean, and God doesn't know when they do the wrong things and when they sin. They seem to forget that God is right there. If they would just look around, if they would take time to listen, they may not always speak the words that they could speak, and they may not always show the actions that they do. But if we just got to think, like Rodney said when he was preaching one time at a funeral, he said, my mom always told us that the Lord is watching you. The Lord knows your thoughts as you're in the making of your thoughts. He knows whether you want to be mean to somebody or whether you want to be kind to them. And so I think it's a great blessing for us that you brought it up. I think it's wonderful because we do not always put it like we often do. We think God doesn't hear or we forget about that.
Yeah.
But He's very real, even though we don't really want to. He's very real. He's listening. And our words and our words and our actions and our thoughts fall down a lot.
Amen. Brian?
I was just going to say, the Lord's voice was another voice He knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because He says here that Samuel did not yet know the Lord.
Yep.
And so he wanted to use the voice to wake him up, to let him know a familiar voice, I guess. And then when his father said that, no, this is the Lord. Now listen to it and say this.
Very good. That's right.
I believe also that it says the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. And I believe that it's coming to a time where the word of the Lord is scarce in these days. People don't know how to hear the word of the Lord. And so Samuel, as a teacher, was teaching, I'm sorry, Eli, as a teacher, was teaching Samuel how to listen to God.
Yep. Yep, that's another good point. Very good. Dead on. All right. He, before when our children don't not yet know the Lord for themselves, we as their parents have to speak the word of the Lord for them. And then they get to the point where they are able to hear God's word for themselves and understand it. So tonight the command is for us to hear God's voice. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Matthew 11, 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there, as we want to keep this command to hear God's voice, that's the very first thing that we need to do is we need to listen for it. We need to listen to hear God's voice. Three military men were walking across the huge flight deck of an aircraft carrier. Suddenly, a commanding officer yelled out to them, "Drop!" Two of the men immediately fell on the deck. The third man turned around to see what was happening and was instantly killed by an incoming airplane. All three heard the same word. Two obeyed immediately. Two recognized the voice, knew that they needed to obey, and did so immediately, but the one did not. Proving that the need to hear quickly, and James talks about being swift to hear. The need to hear and obey quickly determined was a matter of life or death for these soldiers. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands." He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear the voice of the shepherd. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. And another they will not follow. So we are to get to know the voice of the Lord. God wants us to know when he's speaking to us. The great thing about that story with Samuel and Eli was that Samuel was just a child and God spoke to him. I believe that God speaks to children. Children, you're here today, God speaks to you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be able to share his heart, to speak with you. You need to learn how to hear the voice of God. Until you learn to hear God for yourself, you have to trust in your parents and other authorities to let you know what God is saying. But there are two types of hearing. There is the physical hearing and the spiritual hearing. We hear with our physical ears. We hear the message of salvation. But as we respond to it by grace through faith, we receive eternal life and we're born again by the Spirit of God. And then we have a whole new set of hearing. Because the Holy Spirit comes, he indwells our spirits. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. His Spirit teaches us the things of God. And so we have spiritual ears as well now to hear spiritual truths. Some things we cannot understand. We might hear them with physical ears. They don't make a lot of sense to us. But yet our spirit bears witness that what is being said is true. And so God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the revelation of Scripture, through those who accurately explain the meaning of Scripture to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is to be used. And so God uses pastors and teachers and other people to teach us the Word of God. Ethiopian eunuch was studying from the book of Isaiah, just reading it. But he didn't know what it meant until Philip came along and explained to him the meaning of the words that he was reading. And so we need other people, especially as we're growing spiritually, we're getting more mature. We need to have other people come and expound the Scriptures to us. None of us get to the point where we know everything there is to know. And so we all can share insights. It's an amazing thing, you know, when you sit around in a Bible study or we have discussions, like even tonight, probably after I'm done, some of you will come up with insights that I never saw. And that's just the way God has designed it, so that we need each other. We can teach each other and feed on each other's words. Also, as we faithfully memorize and meditate on the Word of God and then apply them to our lives, we are hearing His Word. You know, sometimes God doesn't speak to me just as I'm reading a passage. It's only after I have meditated on that passage for a while, just kind of chewed on it for a while, that God will then open up my ears and reveal to me something very neat and significant about that passage of Scripture that I'm studying. So sometimes just a casual reading or even studying of the Scripture is not going to let God speak to you in the way that He wants to really get down to the root of what He's trying to say. Sometimes we just need to linger in His presence and just mull that passage over and over and over again. Second thing we can do to obey this command is to bow down your ear. Bow down your ear. This girl's story was familiar. 17-year-old girl declared that she did not believe in God. She said that she had too many questions about God, and these questions could not be answered. When asked why she began having these questions, she said, "When I was 7 years old, her younger sister had died, and she could not comprehend why God would let such a terrible thing happen. She went to her parents. Her parents couldn't explain it. So at the age of 11, she began looking to the world for answers to life's questions. Before long, she had strayed far from the moral standards that governed her life. God had answers to her questions, but she wasn't interested in hearing God's answers at this point. She was no longer had a humble heart. And God says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus speaking, "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." Sometimes we have to get over this idea that we know it all and are just humble in His presence before He can teach us. God requires us to have humble spirit before he can reveal humble truths, spiritual truths and wisdom to us. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, or the word there is sometimes translated meek. He came to present the gospel to those who are lowly and meek. And therefore we are told in Proverbs 22, verses 17 and 18, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. And so this girl, trying to understand something with her mind that she was not able to do. And I don't know that really any of us could come up with an intellectual answer that would satisfy why God would allow something like this to happen. But she was setting herself up for a fall here. This 17-year-old girl had obvious reasons to grieve over the loss of her sister. All of us would. But she took on this attitude of pride that she demanded of God an answer and became bitter toward God. Why, God, do you let these kinds of things happen to innocent people? And she just became so wrapped up in that she had become hardened toward God. The disciples asked Jesus a similar question when a wall collapsed and killed 18 people in Jerusalem. Remember that story? Jesus explained that they should not be amazed that 18 people had died. He said, but rather you should be amazed that everyone else didn't die and that you are still living. See, all of us think we deserve certain things from God. But if we really got what we deserved, no one would be alive. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God gives us so much more than we deserve. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, 1 Peter 5:5. So this 17-year-old girl, we're talking about this in the teen class today as well. I raised this question. We were studying what God wants, the purpose for teenage years, the lives of the young adults. And I asked this question, and it says, you know, the Bible promises that if you obey your father and your mother, he promises you a long life, right? What happens? You ever know somebody that honored their father and mother and yet were killed at a young age? So I asked them, how do you explain that? How do you reconcile that happening with somebody who was obedient to their parents growing up? Anybody have an answer to that? You know what I'm trying to communicate? Ryan? Okay.
So it'll be, you know, in their friends that, you know, maybe aren't Christian friends.
That's true. You know, God's sovereignty comes into place, his rule, what he can accomplish in somebody's life. That's true. Laura?
Maybe you would have died a lot sooner than what you did.
Yep.
For that person, maybe it was a lot longer than it otherwise would have been.
That's the answer I gave them. Yeah. And I think that's true. And who knows what God may have spared this person from later on in life. So this 17-year-old girl, getting back to her though, she was constantly being defeated because of a false presumption. She assumed that God owes everybody a healthy, happy 70 years. That was her assumption. And if then that life was cut short, she blamed God. Okay? It might not have been anything to do with God. But she blamed God. And so when we bow down our ear and listen to the voice of God, We realize that every day that we have is something to be thankful for. Every breath is a blessing that God gives us. Third thing that we can do is obey first, understand later. Obey first, understand later. A young boy walked from his mission home down to a jungle trail. His mother, waving goodbye to him, suddenly yelled, "Stop!" The boy immediately froze. His mother rushed toward him and pulled him backward. There was a poisonous snake hanging from the tree branch just above him. If he had taken one more step, that snake likely would have dropped down and eventually killed him. But because the boy obeyed, he fully understood, he was fully saved. And he didn't really understand why his mom told him to stop. But he just knew that he needed to obey the voice of his mother. And Jesus gives us commands. And we don't always see the sense of these commands. We don't always understand why we need to obey them, but he does. And there have been many times in my life when I have obeyed God first and understood why later. Because God doesn't always reveal to us the reasons why he wants us to obey him until after a situation. He wants to see if we are going to obey him, if we're going to be faithful to his word or not. And God says there in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, "Behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." We have this idea that light received brings more light, but light rejected brings darkness. So as long as you walk in the truth, God will give you more truth. But the moment you say, "I've had enough truth, I don't want to see any more truth," then God doesn't shine lightness on it, light anymore. We begin to walk in darkness and confusion. God trained the nation of Israel to think in this sequence: hear, obey, and then understand. But that contradicts our way of thinking today. Our way of thinking is seeks to understand what it hears, and then we will decide whether I will obey or not. Okay? Give me the information, let me decide if I will obey or not. But that's not the way it is with God. He wants us to obey first, understand why, the reason for the obedience later. And if we will not obey God, hear his voice, we'll become frustrated in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And faith requires to say, "Okay, God, I don't understand. I don't know why it happened. But because you are this Almighty God who loves us, send Jesus." And the Bible says he will give us all things. He gave us his greatest gift, his own son. Will he not give us all things freely? So it's a matter of saying, "God, regardless."
Right. Well,
I don't get this. I don't see it, but I won't have to. Like Peter said, we have fished all night.
Right.
And they were experienced fishermen. We haven't caught a thing. And then he added, "But we caught you saved."
Mm-hmm. "Nevertheless, at thy word, at your word, I will do it. I will obey your word. Even though I don't understand why, when I fished all night, are there any other fish on the other side of the boat?" Doesn't make sense, but Peter obeyed. Interesting that you had mentioned faith and, you know, the Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith there. A lot of these guys obeyed without understanding why. Take Noah, building the ark. They had never rained before. That didn't make a lot of sense, to build a boat, build this big ark when it had never rained before. God told Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, even though God had promised him that his descendants would be as the sand on the seashore. See, but he was willing to obey without question. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to obey the voice of the shepherd and follow Jesus. Now, God's willingness to speak is often greater than our willingness to obey. I think he would speak more if he knew we were listening and willing to obey. But sometimes we choose to disobey the Lord because we don't understand the reasons behind his instruction. But if we do that, we're going to limit our growth. We're going to limit our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity. Fourth thing that we need to do, if we want to obey this command to hear God's voice, is to listen to the reproofs of life. A multimillionaire was very proud of his wealth and believed that it was due solely to his own creativity and hard work. His pride increased through the flattery of an attractive secretary who exclaimed, "You are the smartest and most handsome man I have ever met." Soon he became physically involved with this woman. At first it was a secret affair. Eventually his wife discovered what was happening. Obvious conflicts erupted in his marriage and family. However, he didn't concern himself with it too much because his company was really the joy of his life. But one day, unexpected events began to take place in his business. Eventually, he was forced into bankruptcy. He lost his company and everything he owned. See, God had begun the reproofs and God tried to get his attention, but the man wasn't listening. He just wasn't paying attention to God's rebukes. We tell our children that God spanks us sometimes, even though we're adults. If we disobey him, God will chasten us and discipline us. Proves that we are his children, that we are his sons. But God does that. And it says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." If God disciplines us, if God chastens us, it only proves that he loves us. Next, what we can do here to keep this command is be attentive to your conscience. Be attentive to your conscience. We all know what our conscience is, right? That little voice inside of us that speaks, that warns us at times. We need to listen to that conscience. One of the first indications that our conscience has spoken is we start to justify and explain away the cautions that we have. We begin to rationalize them away. But God uses our conscience because he wants to protect us from making wrong choices. He wants to protect us from the heartache of wrong decisions. You see, every person has his law written on their heart, and so every person has a conscience. Some people's conscience are stronger than others, but everyone has a conscience. Their conscience will warn them, reprove them, convict them. But the Christian on top of the conscience has the Holy Spirit indwelling, and he further cultivates within us a sense of right and wrong. And he prompts our consciences, and when we do wrong, then we have this knowledge and this sense of guilt. But you know, if you ignore your conscience, your conscience doesn't bother you as much the next time. And if you ignore your conscience again, the voice of the conscience gets softer and softer. And the Bible talks about you can even sear your conscience. You can get to the place where the heart is so hard that the conscience no longer speaks, no longer bothers somebody anymore. Number 6, know how God speaks. We will miss the voice of God if we don't recognize the truth of Scripture in the teaching and counseling of human authorities. Now, God's main way of speaking is through his inspired word. God inspired the writers of the Bible to write these things down for us. Therefore, our learning, as we have talked about. And then the Holy Spirit comes and guides us into the truths of Scripture. He teaches us Scripture. He raises up pastors and teachers to teach the Word of God and explain how we can apply it to our lives. But of all of these things, we still need to be aware. We have to confirm what people teach us with what the Bible itself has to say. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So even the things that Paul taught, Paul said, I want you to check out what I have to say against the rest of Scripture. And he praised them, praised the Bereans because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if what they were being taught was truth or not. I'm really grateful for the number of people and the people in my life who taught me things. You know, I don't remember a whole lot of sermons. I do remember some that stick out to me. I remember one that Pastor Kelly preached. I'll never forget it. On Elijah when the brook dried up, and how God used that sermon really to motivate Debbie and I to change the direction of our lives. So I'm grateful to men of God who have preached the Word and been faithful to the Word and taught the Word of God to me over the years. But I realized that they were just instruments that God was using. God was the one that was really speaking. God was speaking through them. And we have to look at it that way. We have to see when people are preaching and teaching the Word of God to us that God is using them to speak to us. And I'm often amazed when I stand back in the back after church and people tell me what they got out of the message. I mean, get all completely different answers. I mean, were you in the same church service, you know? And yet that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He gives it to individuals as they need it. Because what you need one day might not be what the person sitting next to you needs. And so the Holy Spirit has that unique ability to take it and apply it to each life. So let's be alert to God's voice as He speaks to us through the many individuals in our lives. Number seven. We need to confirm God's voice. Confirm it. Make sure it is His voice. A young man met an attractive girl, desired to marry her. He began attending her church, getting acquainted with her family. He was aware of her deep commitment to God, so one day he said to her, I have been praying about you, and God has given me assurance from Scripture that you are to be my wife. Well, the girl was impressed by his apparent spirituality, flattered by his attention, but she wondered, was this assurance truly from God, or did he find a verse to satisfy his own desires? You know, so what is it? Fortunately, she sought confirmation from her father, who diligently interviewed the young man and found out that he had some major character flaws and moral struggles. And his daughter listened to her father, and he saved her a lot of heartache and a lot of problems in life. And so we want to confirm what we believe to be true, what we're taught. We can confirm that with other people, with our authorities. God's voice will never contradict His Word. I've had people tell me, God wants me to do this. And I'll say, no, God doesn't want you to do that because the Bible says you can't do that. God would never, ever contradict what He says in His Word. He would never tell you to do something if His Word forbids it. It's very easy for a person to say, God told me to do something when God never said it. So how do we know for sure when it's God speaking to us? Or maybe it's something that we just want to be true. Several factors will guide us in making sure that it's God speaking and not simply our flesh, our desire, or even the deceptive voice of Satan, because sometimes he appears as an angel of light. The first and most important factor in hearing God's voice is making sure that we ourselves have clean hearts and we have an unbroken fellowship with the Lord. We have to make sure that we don't have sin in our life. If we allow sin to rule our lives, the Holy Spirit will be grieved and we will not receive the direction that God wants to give us. Instead, you know, if we don't receive God's direction, then we're going to be driven by our own sinful desires. And then when God speaks to us from His Word, He often gives confirmation by a second or third witness. That truth was even in the Mosaic Law. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Paul, in his letter to the believers in Corinth, reaffirmed that principle. So look for supporting verses, look for confirmation from other people. Know that what you're doing is the right thing. God pleads, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. I'm going to close with, we're going to let you give your input here. One day a businessman was offered a high-paying job with a good company, and he was inclined to accept it. However, if he accepted the job, it meant they would have to relocate. They would have to move. How does he know whether it's God's will or not? Okay, I'm going to throw that out to you tonight. Of all these things we've been teaching on hearing God's voice, how would you counsel that businessman to know if it's God's will or not? I mean, it would be very appealing to him because it's a higher salary. It's a good company. So how do you know? Is this God's will or is this simply what he wants to do? What would you counsel him? Bill? Talk to his wife. That's a good answer. No, that's good because she might not have a peace about that. And God might have spoken to her heart. Even practically speaking, you really wouldn't want to take your wife somewhere where she didn't want to go. So very good. That was one of the very first things that this man did, was he had asked his wife. What else could you do? Who else could you talk to? Deb? Yep. Yep. That is another thing. And that's one that a lot of people overlook. I'll never forget the story Jim Sammons told, where he was had his chance to start his own real estate company, and he went and talked to his dad about it. He said, "I already know what my dad's going to say. My dad's going to say no, because my dad always says you should stay with a sure thing." And to his amazement, when he talked to his dad says, "I think you should do it." And he said, "But Dad, haven't you always said this and this and this?" He said, "Yeah, but I can't explain it, but I think you should do it." And he literally got set up in the business by a friend of his. So that's good. What else could you do? Dan? Go to his pastor. Right. See if this pastor knows anything about, has any inclination, or if God has spoken to him. Pastor Kelly. We know you're being facetious there. It is. I think that is. You want to do something so bad that you just keep going until finally somebody will tell you what you want to hear. And then you think you've got your confirmation. Yes. Yep. Yep. That's true. Yep. Yes, that's a good point. A lot of people don't think about that. But is there a good church there? Your spiritual life is the most important. And I know a lot of people that have moved and said, you know, I just couldn't find a church. We couldn't find a church. We moved there and we just dried up spiritually because we couldn't find a church. Bill? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't like to be pressured into situations. If they say, well, you've got to take this job and you've got to let us know now, that's not usually a very good sign. Laura? Mm-hmm. Yep, very good too. Well, a lot of wise counsel, so if I ever need counsel, I'll come into you guys, okay? All right, any questions or comments on this subject of hearing God's voice? Anything else you'd like to add? Well, let's just bow for prayer. And just where you're at tonight,